Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. This is the broadcast for July 24th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is Hour 2 at 2. And our goal always is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country, celebrating the checks and balances that made America great, celebrating the supreme law of the land that made America great, and celebrating the moral viewpoint of Americans to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property, setting America as a beacon on a hill. If we want to make America great, we got to make America moral. Welcome to the broadcast. Last hour, we talked about Pioneer Day, an official holiday in the Olympic State of Utah, celebrating July 24th. Celebrating the settling of the Mormon pioneers to the Rocky Mountains, telling some historical realities of that. But I think Kurt Crosby is with me, by the way. Kurt, I think that's why folks don't want to put me on CNN or Fox or, you know, ABC, CBS, NBC. That's why Rachel Maddow. That's why some of these big talk show hosts don't want to bring Sam into the discussion about race. They don't want to bring Sam into the discussion about the anti-government issues because they'll find out quickly that I'm not anti-government. They'll find out quickly that I'm not a racist. They'll find out quickly who I really am, and they really won't have a weapon of hate against us and our people anymore. Because they'll say, well, you mean, Sam, you don't believe that white people are supreme over everybody else? No, I don't. Sam, you don't believe that you hate government, that you're anti-government? Of course not. Sam, you mean you want to stand for the proper role of limited government and protect life, liberty, and property? They don't want to take me on those things. Because every area that they want to attack us over, Kurt, I have some of the most cogent arguments backed by life reality to where they just don't have wind in their sails for their abuse. You take, for example, the black issue. I don't know if you're black or not, folks. I'm a blind person. Okay? And I don't care. How are they going to battle that? How are they going to argue that? They say, well, Sam, you know what? You're a Mormon. That's right. So you can hate me for my religion if you choose, but the reality is, I know about abuse. My ancestors from the Mormon, my adopted ancestors from the Mormons, you know what? Are literally kicked across the country, abused and murdered and raped and pillaged and plundered just like the blacks. Don't tell me I don't understand it from an ancestor point of view. Well, my birth parents are all from the South. Look, man, my family's from Alabama, folks. Birmingham, Alabama. Okay? So I get the Southern side of that and have Southern heritage and history as well. And when it comes to the abortion issue, thank heavens my birth mother didn't abort me, or I wouldn't be here on the radio to tell you the tale. So see, I'm pro-life. I'm pro-adoption. Every issue they want to literally drill into, Kurt, will open up a can of worms. And literally they won't have a leg to stand on, not because I'm such a great orator, although I take a little bit of pride in being able to tell my tale in a cogent way. But the truth is, they don't have a leg to stand on with any of these things. Every flashpoint of abuse, every flashpoint of division, I can bring together and heal. I don't have hatred towards anyone. I love my God. I love my family. I love my country. I love my birth family, and I love my adopted family. I don't know if you're black or white. Don't care. And I'm grateful that we don't have more abortions. My mother could have aborted me so easily, but thank heavens that she didn't. So, Kurt, what do you think? I'm convinced that they just cannot handle these discussions in a way that will bring healing and safety and stability and order to the discussions. They love the mayhem, the division, the confusion, the attacks, the counterattacks, the violence, the hatred, the anger, the abuse, the misunderstanding. They thrive on that stuff in the mainstream. And that's why I don't think they'll have me on their programs. You would say, Sam, you're fooling yourself. It's just because you're not a big enough talk show host to matter. Well, that's not what Donald Trump Jr. thought on Super Tuesday. I'll tell you that right now. That's not what most of the Trump surrogates thought when they jumped on Liberty Roundtable Live. That's not what folks thought when we were live at the Republican National Convention. That's not what folks live when we were at the inauguration thought. That's not what the folks thought when they said I was one of the top 250 talkers in the nation. Now, I'm not here to tell you how important I am. That's not the point. The point is they have a blackout on Sam Bushman. They'll attack James Edwards. They'll attack everybody around me, but they strangely leave me out of the discussion points, Kurt. Don't you find that fascinating? Welcome to the broadcast.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam. Yeah, you know, I when you look at the whole picture, at least in my opinion as an observer, as a participant or whatever, you know, you've taught us for a long time, he who owns the media makes the rules. We were taught by even, earlier guys, things like, if it bleeds, it leads. But the problem with you, Sam, is, you know, that you don't fit the narrative, if you will. You know, they've got to find people that will fit in with your special, I guess you could say, situations, you know, your blindness, your southernness, your the chance you could have been aborted, you know, all those different things. Because you're an adopted son, you know, the different parts there, those are, as you would say, pretty much too hot to handle. If you couldn't speak, you couldn't represent yourself well, you'd probably have a little bit more of a target on you. But because of your unique circumstances, I think you're right.
They also don't even want to take me on health care either, Kurt, because I've raised eight children, me and my wife, and we've never had their government health care. We don't want it.
Yeah, and the same thing, they don't want to touch you when it comes to education either, Sam, you know, because they want to leave that whole thing alone.
I mean, they don't want to talk about some of the most successful homeschooling kids in the country?
That's right.
They don't want to do that, huh? All right. They don't want to talk about private school and some of the great solutions there either? See, now they want to attack us.
Well, those are all solutions, Sam. Those are all, you know, out of the box, out of the, you know, traditional little, you know, here's where we have to stay, you know, right between A and B. You know, all of these are choice C, D, E, F, you know, whatever.
Good point.
And so those don't, you know, the standard media doesn't want to even touch
They don't even want to take on immigration, Kurt, because they'll find out that, wow, we don't fit the mold on immigration either. And for example, Kurt Crosby went and served among the Latino people for 2 years. So I'll just whip out my co-host and say, what are you talking about? Not to mention both of my sons, one went to Chile for 2 years and served the Latino people there. My other one's going to Boston in a few days, going to be serving the Latino people in the Boston area.
Yep, that's the way we illustrate the hate that we have.
That's right. Right, you know us. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and not only that, I'm one of the most illustrious Mexican food lovers or whatever you want to say on the planet.
Yes, you are.
So I'm telling you right now, good luck with that plan. See, but then they'd say, well, that's mock viewpoints. If you love Mexican food, Sam, that's just your token response. What about my two sons then? Between the two of them, they'll serve 4 years to the Latino people. My co-host, 2 years. That's 6 years of three lives, if you will, to the Latino people. We don't hate anybody.
We've got two other sons that also served in South America as well.
So wait a minute now. You're telling me that I've got two sons and you've got two sons and then you?
Yes, sir.
So how many years is that?
Well, that'd be four more years.
So what's that?
Whatever you came up with.
Two, four, six, eight, 10 years.
That's 10 years.
Yeah. A decade of service to the Latino people? Then they're going to tell you that we hate people. We're racist because we don't believe in illegal activity. Is that the deal? See, they can't take us on any of these issues, Kurt.
Yep.
They can't take us on the marital issue because we both have successful long-term marriages. Wow. I just don't know what these people are going to do with us, Kurt.
Well, that's why it's...
And the answer is a blackout. They won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Just attack everyone around us in this storm of of cultural battles, but leave us just standing like a, like an oak tree. They'll tell you, though, that Sam hates the IRS. He's anti-IRS. Well, we'll get into that in just a minute. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing fantastic on this Pioneer Day, celebrating the Mormon Battalion and the leaders who truly follow the Prince of Peace. All right? When we get back, we're going to drill into stories. Twitter is all the rage and growing. No doubt about it. We'll tell you about it. Liberty Roundtable Live, Sam and Kurt, hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, always on your radio.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, the Russian issues heat up. It's all going on by Twitter. Most of the news is made on Twitter these days, and the mainstream press just follows. The new media taking center stage, no doubt about it. Well, anyway, Kurt, did you hear who Donald Trump picked as his ambassador to the country of Russia?
No.
His name is John.
Who is that? John McCain?
No. John McCain's about to die from cancer, sir.
That's right. I figured maybe it would.
Come on. Who would you think? It's a former Utah governor.
Oh, Huntsman.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. They say John Huntsman. President Trump announced last week that he's making or nominating former Utah Governor John Huntsman, a seasoned diplomat, to be the U.S. ambassador to Russia at a time of ongoing investigations into the meddling in last year's elections, Kurt. What do you think of all that?
Well, I think most of the, quote, meddling into last year's elections is hocus pocus, but I see, for example, looks like the Hill.com has a piece, Trump to nominate John Huntsman for Russia ambassador. I thought John Huntsman spoke Chinese. I don't exactly get the...
He does.
Huntsman, you
well,
know,
I'll
Russia
explain this
connection
to you, Kurt. What you do when you got this big old meltdown is you bring a good, honest Mormon. Now, I'm not telling you John Huntsman's perfect. I don't agree with him politically on much, but I will say that I believe, like Mitt Romney, I disagree with them politically big time, okay? But I do believe they're honest, moral people, and they don't have a lot of skeletons in their closets, Kurt. Now, right. Besides maybe not choosing the proper role of limited government and, you know, supporting the Constitution and things like that, they're a little bit globalist for me. They don't defend the principles that made America great well enough. But look, they're good, honest people. They've been married to women for a long time. You know, they've got their act together for the most part. And so, you know, Donald wants to just put somebody there to be above reproach, Kurt.
Imagine that. Well, yeah, it looks like, you know, you're exactly right. I mean, at least then you look at it. He was chosen by Obama to serve in China, as far as I remember.
See, that's how you do the both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, good point.
Right? And that's how you stop the Democrats and be like, what are you talking about, man? I got John Huntsman up there. You know, the Utah people hate me, but look, I put their celebrated former governor in charge here. And, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans, how are you going to attack that, Kurt?
Yep.
Come on.
That's a great point.
So the question is, will they hold up? If they hold him up, then Donald gains a lot of political capital. If they don't hold him up, it's a slam dunk. Next. And a win for the president, right?
That's what it looks like.
Now, I'm not really a fan of Huntsman. I'm a fan right. of more of a fan of his father than I am him, but I digress. I'm just telling you that this is a very wise pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they say the appointment comes on the heels of a bombshell report, that's what they call it, that revealed Donald Trump Jr. met with a Russian lawyer during the campaign after an associate promised him compromising information on the campaign of his father's opponent. You know, Hillary Clinton. You know, Sam, they're just looking for some dirt to pull up, and it's pretty hard for them, isn't it?
Donald's too good. They're not getting it done.
Right.
Trump warns Republicans at the same time. Republican lawmakers will only have themselves to blame if they lose their seats in the 2018 midterms. Right? It all starts with a tweet. It's all happening. Donald Trump went crazy. They're calling it a Twitterama, Kurt. When the Donald goes ballistic on Saturday morning on Twitter, attacking everybody and literally telling the Republicans they better get it together and they better do it fast or they're going to be paying the price at the elections in 2018. Now, by the way, isn't that a point that I've been making since the beginning, Kurt?
Seems like it.
So I think Donald's listening to Liberty Roundtable Live, taking a page out of our playbook to go ahead and tweet.
That'd be a smart move, I think.
Yeah. Well, hey, he can learn. He can listen. He can pretend he's not. We don't care. We don't need the credit. But Donald's right. The Republicans will pay dearly if they don't deliver something significant before the election cycle begins in, what, one short year, Kurt? Or less?
It seems like it's going on all the time to me, Sam.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
good point.
You've got those two-year terms, and they seem to me that they're always standing for one thing, and that is re-election.
Amen. The third of Congress, or third of House of Representatives, possibly going to...
Well, you mean Senate, right? Yeah.
Well, no, because a third of the... I'm sorry, the whole House every 2 years, right?
Yes.
And a third of the
right.
Senate. You're right. Good point. Okay, good point. So a third of the Senate could be turned out, and the whole House could be turned out if Americans' ire gets to a feverish pitch. Is that it? Donald pointing out the obvious.
That would sure be impressive. You know, as far as I can see, we'd be better off just picking random names out of the phone book, you know, than we would, you know, the current situation.
At least they might have a handle on the suffering of the American people under the abusive regulations and tyrannical views of the current Congress. That's for sure.
Amen to that.
Anyway, I just find the whole thing fascinating. But Donald tweeting out, right? All right, I guess Attorney General Eric Holder's in the news, Kurt. He's tweeting, too. Everybody's tweeting, right?
Well,
and he says Trump.
Tweedledum.
He says Trump cannot fire special counsel, but Donald Trump is saying I can pardon anybody I want to. Kurt.
Yeah, we're just wishing he'd come on over and pardon like the guys at the Freedom Coalition.com. You know.
Yeah, we're working on that with the Donald. He opened up a big door. When Roger Stone and Ted Nugent say they'll talk to the president for us, and when Donald busts out and says, I can literally pardon anybody I choose, then, well, what's stopping you from getting it done there, president? But other tweets were quick to attack Eric Holder and point out, Holder, has been found in contempt of Congress back in the day for his abuses already. So you know what? Do you dare even speak out against the Donald when Operation Fast and Furious happened under your watch and when you literally got found in contempt of Congress? Is Eric Holder the guy to speak out on this, Kurt?
Well, that's a great question, Sam. And Holder doesn't seem to be too squeaky clean, if you ask me.
Heard that. Wow. Well, anyway, now they say, though, that don't worry. Were Trump to fire the special counsel, Kurt, it might result in impeachment proceedings against him. Now, mind you, that these special counsel thugs have hired all kinds of hardened Democrats to attack the president, Kurt.
Yep, it sure doesn't look too good when it comes to that. I mean, it's like, imagine if the Cowboys and the whatever, Redskins are playing.
Don't you dare say that Redskin name, Kurt.
I know.
I mean, how dare you? Almost said the Indians too, didn't you?
Cowboys and Indians were playing whatever, you know. There is an Indian team, you know, or there used to be anyway. But imagine if they were playing in the, and they said, "Hey, we're going to pick up sides for a special game," and some guy that had taken over for the Cowboys started to pick a whole bunch of former Indians. You know, people would say, this isn't right. And that's basically what's going on here, right?
Yeah, and I find this fascinating. All this impeachment talk, all this I can pardon anybody I want to, all this quick pointing out that Holder was held in contempt of Congress, the Republican lawmakers, you know what? They've got a short time to get something done significant or else they're going to pay dearly at the polls. Every bit of this happening via Twitter, Kurt. The mainstream press is sidelined and watching and reporting on what's happening on Twitter. Isn't that fascinating?
Well, it's sort of a place where, as far as I can tell, Sam, there's kind of what they call freedom of speech going on there.
Wow. Whoa.
And I know it does sound kind of crazy, but it's written down. So, you know, the standard media types can just kind of cut and paste it, you know. So it's almost like having a press conference every time you send out a tweet.
Good point.
And yet you don't have to, you know, I guess you could say invite them all. It's like remote press conferences, right, Sam?
And pretty much restricted to 140 characters for clarity even.
That's right, you know, so you don't have to get all this gobbledygook. You get right down to the points that you want to make, I think.
Yeah, maybe we need to spend more time on the Twitter there, Kurt.
Well, yeah, I mean...
my problem is I just don't have the staff.
Clone myself, you know, about 20
times. And the cash, and the money, and the effort. And, you know, I'd love to do those things, but, you know, we've got somebody posting on Facebook for us now, so the show's up there every day. People are liking it and loving it, and they want some more of it, so that's good news.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Liberty Roundtable Live continues in seconds. We're going to... Well, do you consider Texas part of the South there, Kurt?
Yes, sir.
All right, speaking of the South, we're going to talk about the southern state of Texas. They're making a plea, Kurt. We'll tell you about it.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. The Central Intelligence Agency has been running a covert arms program supplying rebels fighting the Syrian government. President Trump made the decision a month ago to scrap the program. The decision seems to be consistent with Trump's campaign promises to focus on ISIS instead of expanding the war to include removing Syria's president. Meanwhile, Secretary of State Tillerson said in an interview with ABC News that it is up to the Syrian people to, quote, decide the fate of their president. John McCain, convalescing in Arizona, said if these reports are true, the administration is playing into the hands of Vladimir Putin, making any concessions to Russia, absent a border strategy for Syria, is irresponsible and short-sighted, unquote.
Senator McCain has been beating the drums for war with Syria for years. The senator wants to keep America focused on removing Assad from power. In the meantime, everyone is sending good wishes to Senator McCain. He may have a tough battle ahead of him. This is LibertyNewsDaily.com.
For commentary and insights on a troubled world delivered to your inbox weekly, think Joel Skousen's weekly internet news analysis service. Subscribe today to this one-of-a-kind news source, worldaffairsbrief.com. We the people do hereby request the immediate assistance of President Trump, Congress, media outlets, and freedom organizations to defend all innocent Americans. There is no liberty with innocence in prison. Please sign our petition, thefreedomcoalition.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Governor Greg Abbott of Texas is inviting Americans who want less government in their lives to move to Texas, Kurt. More freedom in Texas, you ask? In an interview with Glenn Beck, from what I understand, Governor Greg Abbott of Texas pointed out that the state legislature in Texas meets every other year, so there was less government involvement in your life. He contrasted that with California's full-time legislative body that's about to go for a single-payer system for health care. If you're coming here to be dependent on government, Greg Abbott says, you're coming to the wrong place. Texas is a place for individual liberty and independence. That's the way we run things down here. The governor is trying to find ways to control skyrocketing property taxes. By the way, they have no income tax down there. And I guess they're working on decreasing the property taxes as well. You want to respond to that, Kurt?
Well, God bless Texas. You know, that's one of the things I could say. You know, you look at one of my all-time favorite movies would be The Alamo with John Wayne playing in there. I don't really know much about the newer ones, you know, but I do like the older ones. And when you look there, you know, you just see that the good Texans, you know, number one, they had their own country after they pretty much, you know, beat the Mexican folks out of there. And I'm talking about Santa Anna and, you know, his crew. You can, you know, learn that stuff from history. And you know, it was called the Republic of Texas. And as far as I understand, they even have special stuff written into their agreement to be in the union that says, hey, anytime they want, they can just step right back out of there, you know. These are folks that you go down there, you'll find the Texas flag flying above the American flag.
By the way, just as it ought to be.
You know, the way it ought to be, yeah. The American
states. Not because we don't believe in the United States, but because we believe in dual sovereignty and states' rights, and we believe that the state created the federal government, not the other way around. And the states that enter the union later should be on equal footing with other colonies slash states, if you will. But I find this fascinating, Kurt, and I think that there is some freedom in Texas. I wouldn't move to Texas for a variety of reasons, but I get Greg Abbott's point, and to contrast it with California, is certainly smart. People are leaving California and stuff like that, the liberal left coast in droves, and they're heading to Texas because there's lower property taxes, there's lower cost of government, there's less regulation, so there's more freedom in business. It goes on and on and on and on. I wouldn't move to Texas because, number one, it's too close to the Mexican border. Number two, there's too many large cities. And what happens is you got a good bunch of folks out there in the country in Texas. But when you get these large cities like Houston and Dallas and whatever, some of these huge places, Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston, they literally are liberals all get out and they literally control the whole state. Some could say that's true about Salt Lake City, but relatively, comparatively, it's not near as massive. But the big city liberalism oftentimes ruins a whole state. Without those big, massive cities, Texas would be a very conservative state. I'm grateful that they don't have an income tax. By the way, Texas is one of eight states that does not have an income tax. I think that's phenomenal news. I wish Utah would follow a page out of that playbook, huh, Kurt?
Well, yeah. I mean, imagine if you just get down to what, we'd prefer one tax, a simple sales tax, that you could basically replace all the taxes with.
Or a transaction tax, as you call it.
Yeah,
it includes more than sales oftentimes.
Yeah, that's right. Good point. Transaction would be the thing. That would include taxes on things like hedge funds and stocks, but everything would just have one tax.
Transparent tax, not on the revenue side of the equation either. In other words, the income side. That's phenomenal. It would be incredible. But I appreciate Greg Abbott doing that. But the problem is the reason that they have an outrageous property tax is because they don't have an income tax. Now, I'm not for increasing an income tax. What I am for is, Texas, provide less services and get rid of your property tax entirely. I've been waiting for the first state that has no income tax, no property tax. Neither Communist Manifesto plank would be involved in a state. The sooner a state gets there, Kurt, the sooner they can really have true independence and dual sovereignty, delegating proper authority to the federal government for needful things. But they'd be as independent as a state as they could be if they got off the government dole and had no property and or no income tax. That'd be the state that would be heaven to move to, Kurt.
Amen to that. Just like a good operation, maybe a Amazon or a Walmart or whatever, where they do more for their customers, states can look at it and do the same thing and get more people that want to be there.
The battle for liberty is on. Now, by the way, say they have a legislature every other year, Kurt. Can you look on Google and see how long they meet? Because Utah has one of the smallest legislative sessions in the country that I understand. What is it, 45 days per year?
Yeah, it seems like forever.
It used to be 60, but they reduced it to 45 in their defense, though, right?
Yes, that's the way I remember it.
I'm not really so interested in reducing the session like that. I'd almost rather see them meet one day a week. That'd be a 52-day session.
Yeah,
but they could meet remotely with modern technology, Kurt, and we could literally not have such a flurry of activity all at once that would abuse us. We would actually have all week to deal with the constituents and discuss things, and then, they could meet one day a week, and that would be 52 days a year. I'd personally support that more than I would the breakneck speed of a 45-day session. But how often does Texan meet? It's twice. I mean, it's once every 2 years. But I wonder how long they meet for.
They say the maximum duration of a regular session is 140 days.
Okay, so that equates to 70 days a year if you compare it. Utah would be 90 days in 2 years. So they make it sound like it's really incredible, but I don't think that it is, Kurt. Because what happens is in that 140 days of sheer terror, they literally have 2 years to gear up and ram everything under the sun through. And I don't like that. I like a more measured approach. I like them working for us year-round, but doing so at a slow, methodic pace with transparency, personally. Any thoughts on that, Kurt?
There's apparently or what they call biennial sessions. They say that's a legislative session held every 2 years in the U.S. Some state legislatures have that, that are usually held in odd-numbered years, whereas others have annual sessions. anyway, that's
the odd year folks want to do it, everything
it
opposite their election times. You know what I mean? Elect 1 year, vote the next year. Elect 1 year, vote the next year. See, I don't like that either. I like the more measured approach of just slowing it down and saying, look, what if the federal government met once a week and so do the states, Kurt? Once a week they meet legislatively, and there's only so much they could do in a single day. We could literally have all week to review and kind of understand and follow and monitor and, you know, have complete transparency on the given orders of the day. I personally think a more measured approach would be better. Now, they would say that's not feasible, Sam, but I think that it is with modern technology.
Yeah, it looks like 46 of the states meet annually. The other four that don't, you've got Montana, Nevada, North Dakota, and Texas that have a session every other year.
So I know they're pitching that, hey, it's free, you know, but I look at it slightly different. What do you think of my idea versus the ideas that are currently done, Kurt, annually or every 2 years? I'm proposing a day a week.
Yep, just like you would with the Postal Service, right? You know, I mean...
Yeah, we don't need mail more than a day a week. I mean, you can get payments modern technology-wise so much faster anyway, and they could literally get off all the packages and off all the different special stamps and political issues, and they could literally just deliver guaranteed simple correspondence like a letter one day a week. And it would be like...
Now, this is where you'd come off as a friend to the earth, Sam. See?
Well, no. Hold on. If I wasn't a racist, then I could be a friend to the earth.
That's right.
See, that's how they want to go. The truth is, though, I would basically say, look, we're not sending this junk mail either. Okay? I wouldn't send all those junk mail pieces and stuff like that.
At least one of the way you'd do that or you'd allow that to be done is so you'd have that done privately, right? You know, and if private business chooses to do whatever they want, hey, they can get her done.
Of course they can, and they have competition in that arena
government,
as well.
Yeah, good. And to have yet on the other hand, to have government providing that service, you know, it's just not what the founding fathers intended.
Well, it creates a moral hazard for sure and runs people out of business and everything. But I think that an appropriate simple letter correspondence capability by the post office, which was what it was intended for guaranteed delivery of things weekly, would be appropriate, Kurt.
Yeah, imagine that.
But now the post office is delivering on Sundays even, Kurt.
Yeah, and then we're subsidizing those Amazon deliveries, right?
Unfortunately, that is correct, my friend. All right, Sean Spicer steps aside. Yeah. What's this guy's name? Anthony Caramucci taking over in Sean Spicer's absence. All right, we'll talk about that and what that all means in seconds. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Okay, let's try this. Honey, I've got some surprising news. No. Okay, this'll work. Guess who's gonna have a baby? No, that's not it. Oh, I don't know.
Hi, honey. Are you okay?
Jill's pregnant.
Our Jill? She's just a kid.
I know. You know, nothing really has to change when the baby comes. I'll help her. We'll just help her, right? We never thought it would happen to our Jill or to us. We didn't know how to best help her through the tough decisions she'd have to make. Thankfully, we found that help.
And not just for her, but for us too.
We're here to listen. We're here to help. LDS Family Services. Where there's help, there's hope.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. So Sean Spicer resigns, steps aside. And the media is in a frenzy over the, quote, Trump meeting with Vladimir Putin. They say it was a secret meeting, but I don't understand how it was secret when the press reported it. But Mr. Anthony Caramucci, or however you say his name, vows to end White House leaks. Any tidbit on all that, Kurt? What do you think?
Well, I saw one story said vows to end White House leaks amid a new batch of them. You know, the Spicer exit, at least I'm not surprised. You know, in standard business world, when somebody wants to, they can move on to somewhere else. When some boss wants to choose a different guy, they choose a different person. And, you know, just because you're in government service, you shouldn't be, I guess you could say, there for life. I didn't really have anything against Spicer. I thought he did spice up the meetings occasionally. But, when it comes to that whole Scaramucci guy, apparently Trump thinks he's pretty good on TV, and that's pretty much what you got to have now when you got a press secretary or somebody that deals with the press, right?
Yes, I think that's right. But in my opinion, I'm not against Sean necessarily, but I think he's a government insider. I don't think he's one of us. And he's replaced with all kinds of people that are just government insiders, members of the Council on Foreign Relations, literally political insiders working for the big banking cartels, and kind of the revolving door is a well-oiled machine, Kurt. Donald says he wants to drain the swamp, but I don't see draining the swamp at all here.
Yeah, if he's doing it, it's what would you call it? Kind of like stealth mode that, you know, it's tough to find. Every so often we'll see a story about it, but it is tough to see when he's really draining the swamp, you know?
Heard that. All right.
It seems more like the swamp monsters are, in control to me.
All right. Now, I guess there's new IRS documents, Kurt, that have been uncovered by Judicial Watch, show the extent of the agency's efforts to silence conservatives. Do you want to sound off on this one before I do?
Okay, so it's Judicial Watch, our longtime buddies that we've watched, using the same phrase, we've seen how they've dug deep so many times and continue to stay on things, kind of like a little bulldog holding onto, you know, your pant leg. Now they're digging again, huh, Sam?
Yeah, pretty much that's the case. But they've got new documents now just showing that Lois Lerner, the former IRS person, should literally go to prison. And you literally need to really now, more than ever, Donald Trump, abolish the IRS entirely. We see more and more and more, more evidence. The only way we're getting this evidence is because Judicial Watch, good, honest people are demanding this information. But newest documents are uncovered showing that the IRS has been literally abusing conservatives. And guess the most important piece, Kurt. Because their manipulation, many conservative organizations were literally not able to participate in the elections of 2008, 2012, etc.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing, Sam. But, we've talked about it so many times, and we need to eliminate these things that can be used as things to hurt the one side or the other. And you see this, the IRS is a perfect example of it. You know, we're not for having groups of people that can be used by anybody to bully one side or the other.
Amen. Now, Kurt, wouldn't you say if the IRS literally is attacking people and then they can't participate in the 2008-2012 elections as a result, would that be vote fraud? Election tampering?
In my book, it would. It would be. I mean, why is it not? Votes.
So how come the mainstream press doesn't admit the truth that there is vote fraud? There is election fraud. Donald pointed to it, and now we're uncovering more and more information that's actually factual. In the last several days or week, you and I have pointed out five or six different issues that have led to vote fraud for sure.
Great point.
All right, Charles wants to chime in. Hi, Charles.
Hey, Sammy, Kurt, how you guys doing?
Good, sir.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to let you know one thing on the voter fraud. That the reason the states are resisting the federal, you know, Donald Trump effort to investigate is how do you think they all got elected?
Great point,
That's
sir.
That's a great point.
Can't argue with it. And agreed.
The other thing was that on the spokesperson, what was his name, the guy that was in there?
Spicer?
Kind of lame.
You're talking about? Spicer.
Yeah, Sean Spicer.
The guy that Italian guy that they hired is actually his boss, or would have been his boss, which that position has been vacant, and then they're going to replace Spicer with the big giant woman that was whose daddy ran for president. I can't remember her name, but she's filled in for Spicer a lot.
Oh, okay.
Who I'm talking about.
You're talking about Dick Cheney's daughter?
Whose?
Is it Dick Cheney's daughter?
No. No, it's one of the guys he got after he ran for president, he got some kind of a mainstream media job.
Gig. Huckabee probably, huh?
Huckabee, yeah.
Yeah, Mike Huckabee, sure, the well-known pastor.
Replacing Spicer, and then the Italian guy is replacing a vacant position that would have been that his boss, you know, if it had been filled. So anyway,
either way, strange brew. I don't think any of these people are our friends, though. I don't think Donald Trump is draining the swamp at all, and I think most of these people are insiders. And when you start to dig, you find out they're connected every ways from Sunday.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a shame, and you know, I'd hate to say. I don't know. I've been underwhelmed with a lot of his choices.
What if I was the secretary, or what if I was the press secretary there, Charles?
What about what?
What if I was the press secretary?
I think you'd do a great job, but I'm not necessarily convinced they're interested in somebody who would do a great job. So therein lies the dilemma.
Amen to that. Any final point?
Mm-hmm. No. I'm good, right, guys. You keep up.
Did you listen to the first hour on Pioneer Day? What did you think of that?
You know, I didn't. I'm working this weird work schedule.
All right. Well, when you get a minute, check out the first hour. It'll be available at libertyroundtable.com. Check out the Pioneer Day discussion, a celebration in Utah. Pioneer Day is a Utah holiday.
I'm doing a recap on it, and it sounds interesting. So I'll
check it out when you get a minute. Thanks, Charles. There he goes. We're about out of time, Kurt. Any final point before we fly here?
You know, Sam, it looks like, you know, you mentioned the Spicer thing. That's kind of the, I guess you could say, big news of the weekend.
The Washington Post. One insider traded for another, who cares?
Yeah, that's right. The Washington Post got the headline, Republicans are in full control of government. Then it says, but losing control of their party. And you know, it goes to the whole issue that so many times I like to bring up, and that is, what is a Republican? You know, is it a Ron Paul guy? Is it a Trump guy? Is it a...
No.
You know, is it McConnell? Is it Paul Ryan?
Yes.
Is
you want to know why?
It's too bad, but that's the
you
way
you want to know why? Because they control the narrative. Not
sure
because they're right,
like
not because they're moral, not because they should be the leaders, but because they literally control the narrative. And as long as Republicans let them control the narrative, Republicans are them. Otherwise, you're an outsider, Kurt, with their agenda. Doesn't matter what your platform says. Doesn't matter how true blue you are. What matters is they control the narrative. They control what happens, right?
Well, yeah, and they seem to have complicity, or I guess you could say they're accompanied by the mainstream press that, you know, I think basically wants to help the Kingmen, you know, basically run the show.
And if they wanted to change the game, they could go to the New Media Ticket Center stage and get it done tomorrow. But even Rand Paul doesn't do that, Kurt. He doesn't have time for us.
What a great point.
We tried to get Rand on the broadcast with us several times, and he's just too busy. Either I'm running for election, I'm raising money, I'm this, I'm that. And we've even not only have we tried to interview him about things that we want to talk about, but we've tried to interview him about things that he's reached out to us to ask us help on. And he still doesn't have time.
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, speaking of the Senate, Sam, World in the Daily's got a piece about a ruthless and vicious Senate candidate that vows to smash the establishment. Now, I'll tell you what, it reminds me of Big Al of the past. But anyway, this guy, the author is Joe Wilson. And they're talking about a guy named Corey Stewart. Have you heard of him?
I haven't. What's his name again?
Corey Stewart. I guess, you know, he's basically saying he's a Republican for, you know, the Senate there in the, I'm trying to see which state it is. He's the Prince William County Board of Supervisors. He's the chairman there. I'm trying to remember the state, but the bottom line is he says he's a Trump-supporting Senate candidate, and he says it needs to be moved even further. He's talking about four more years of more socialism plan, and he's rejecting the whole thing. And he says, I'm in it to take back our country. I will not stop at anything. I will be absolutely ruthless at taking down Tim Kaine. So this is Virginia is where he is.
I have one
smashing
response.
Yeah.
Bring it on. I mean, anything would be better than Tim Kaine almost, wouldn't it, Kurt?
Well, yeah. And maybe he'd shake up the Senate even more, you know. I mean, we sure need a bunch of shakers.
Well, it's worth a try, but I would tell Corey and everybody else, you know what? I appreciate your rhetoric, and I hope you're for real. But the Republicans are going to melt down before you ever get the chance, my brother. I hope that's not true, but I'm telling you, at the trajectory you're on, meaning you and they and everybody else, you better influence them for good in some way, because if they don't get it done, they're going to pay big time, says Trump in 18, and I think he's right. So I hope Corey gets a chance, but I don't see it. Unless the Republicans get off the dime and do something serious fast. All right, thanks for being alongside for the ride. 2 hours in the can. We were live for Pioneer Day. Check out the first hour, breaking down Pioneer and Mormon history like no other. Hopefully it was educational and entertaining. LibertyRoundtable.com, our website. Please support us in every way, including financial. We declare this nation shall endure.